Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love to each one of us and for being with us during this school year. Thank you for answered prayers and for helping us see evidence of your love to each of us. As we come here tonight for this graduation, please give Pastor Nathan the words to speak that will draw us all closer to you, and may it help us live each day for others. Guide Daniel as he graduates from eighth grade. May he continue to always put you first in his life. As the summer vacation begins, please keep us safe and help us follow the plans you have for each of our lives. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
My aim for this 8th grade graduation is aim high and God will take you higher. My motto to go along with it is find a path or make one. Good evening, family and friends. I'd like to thank you all for coming this evening, although most of you think graduating from the 8th grade doesn't deserve a big celebration since that wasn't how it was for most of you adults back in the day. When I first came to Three Angels in the 3rd grade, it was on the 2nd day of the school year since my mother didn't believe me when I said it was a day when school started the day before. The schoolwork was the same as in my previous school. The difference was the morning worship and Bible class, as well as how the teacher worked with each of the students, which took me only one day to get used to. One reason why I really like this school is the half day on Fridays. Seriously, the real reason is the small class and the kind teacher, because she allows me to get the extra help I need right then. Not after school, not at home, not during my summer break, and not during my free time. I can receive the teacher's help right at that moment because she doesn't have to work with 40 or 50 kids. In addition, I can move at my own pace and not at the pace of whatever student the teacher decides to call up to the board or table to solve the problem. I plan to continue my education here at Three Angels by taking correspondence classes so I can graduate with a high school diploma in 4 years. My idea of the meaning to my aim is that when we do our part of what we can accomplish, God will take us much further than we could ever imagine. For an example of aiming high, missionaries do all they possibly can to accomplish God's work, yet it isn't enough. God does his part by taking the job the missionary has worked on and finishes it. Or takes it further beyond finish and gives signs that no human could have accomplished this work. Although we all have dreams and goals here on this earth, there is a special price, as Philippians 3:13 and 14 says. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ, is calling us. I give thanks to my parents and family, friends and teachers, for helping me to be able to find my path. And overall, I'd like to thank my Heavenly Father for helping me along that path. I'd like to honor and thank the following people. When I call your name, please stand up. My mother, my father, apparently he's not in the room right now, my brother Lydell, and my sisters aren't here at the moment, but they are Marquis and Lakita. I'd like to give them thanks. I'd like to give thanks to Mrs. Royal, Mrs. Stearman, Pastor Stearman, Dr. Tan, Mrs. Bechtelheimer, and Mrs. Marching. I'd like to thank you all for the things you have taught me and helped me with. Thank you.
Congratulations on your 8th grade graduation. I remember mine, and it was an exciting and memorable time. And not only as you go on to high school, but other journeys throughout your life, remember that God is always with you, guiding you through the plan that he has for you. And as we play these songs, think about the lyrics, how they tell how he cares for you in times of joy, sorrow, pain, and other times. And remember that you never walk alone. I want to read you a Bible verse found in Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And I won't read the lyrics right now because it will take too long, but I wrote them down for you to reflect on them later.
Well, it's that time, Daniel. Been waiting a few years for this moment. And we've had the privilege of having you at Three Angels since third grade, right?
Yes.
Since third grade. It's been a pleasure to have your son. And a pleasure to have your brother. And Daniel, it's been a pleasure to be your friend. I'm going to move this a little closer. Your aim and motto reminds me of mine. It wasn't exactly the same, but it was similar. Find a path or make one, aim high, and God will take us higher. I want to talk about a story. One of my favorite kings in the Old Testament, it's in the book of 2 Chronicles, and it's near the end of the book. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and 35 records a remarkable story. This was a young man who aimed high. A young man who had great things in his sights, and a young man who, because he walked with God and had high ambitions for honoring God, accomplished great things. I think, in my opinion, that this king was one of Israel's or Judah's greatest kings. As you know, the history of Israel was a sad history because in the beginning they were one nation, 12 tribes united together under a king, and they had a couple of kings, King Saul and King David, and then Rehoboam, Solomon's, and then King Solomon. And then Rehoboam, Solomon's son, came along, and he was a foolish king. And under his very short, in fact, when he was just coming to the throne, he infuriated the ten of the tribes so much that they walked. They said, "We're done. We're not doing this whole united thing. We're going our own way." And at that point, Israel was split and became Israel and Judah, northern kingdom and southern kingdom. Well, for first of all, Israel, their first king, Jeroboam, got them into a lot of trouble, and they went, for pretty much the rest of their history, they kept going down, down, down. They had very few good kings and mostly bad and even very bad kings. King Ahab and Queen Jezebel being some of the most notorious of Israel's wicked kings. Judah went a little bit slower. They had several good kings. One of those kings was named Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king for the most part. He did have a time when he made some poor decisions. During Hezekiah's, the last 15 years of his reign, Hezekiah had a son. And that son's name was Manasseh. Manasseh reigned for 55 years as king in Judah. But under Manasseh's reign, Judah was led to practice idolatry and heathen practices like they had never practiced before. Under Manasseh, he led Israel in doing things that even the nations around them weren't doing. In other words, Judah, under the leadership of Manasseh, became the most wicked kingdom in that area. God's people, most wicked kingdom in the area because of Manasseh's leadership. To Manasseh was born a son, Ammon, who didn't do any better than his father. To Ammon was born a son, the king in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, who was named Josiah. Josiah became king at 8 years old. Now you're how old?
14.
So can you imagine at this time being king for 6 years? You might like that thought. But Josiah, by the time your eighth grade graduation came around, Josiah would have been king for 6 years. Josiah was king. The Bible makes some remarkable statements about Josiah. Here is the first one. In the eighth year of his reign, so he starts at 8, so at 16 years old, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. So somewhere, you know, he doesn't have a good father. Ammon was a horrific father. His grandfather was a horrific grandfather. No good examples as far as the kings went. We don't know, maybe someone in the house, a servant, his mother, someone in his household may have provided him a good example. We don't know. There is no indication in Scripture of any example. So his greatest role models are a curse and not a blessing. But Josiah, during those first 8 years of his reign, somehow he aspires to be great like his father David. It's great, you know, it's back in the generations. And he takes David's example of following God as a role model for himself. And so he sets his heart at 16 years old, just 2 years older than you, having reigned for 8 years. Josiah, the Bible says, began to seek the God of his father, David. In the 12th year of his reign, 4 years later, when he is 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places. So Judah, the people of Judah, had built all of these locations in the kingdom to worship their gods. They had built wooden idols. They had built metal idols. They had built altars. They had an elaborate buildup of pagan worship centers and practices. So when he's 20 years old, he begins to lead Judah in the most sweeping revival probably in the history of the combined kingdoms. Even David led God's people faithfully. David didn't have to undo years of false worship. David could take over and make up for some of the mistakes of Saul and lead Israel in a good direction. Solomon, he had his troubles, but he wasn't in a hole as deep as Josiah was in when he became king. So Josiah took over kingship at a time when Judah was in the worst condition spiritually it had ever been in. So that's why I think Josiah was one of Judah's greatest kings, because he began at 20 years old, 16 years old, 16 years old to seek the Lord, 20 years old began to lead the greatest reformation in Judah's history. That's not the end of it. As he begins his work, continues his work, he comes to the place where he's ready to repair the temple. So he sends in messengers to Hilkiah the priest, and they begin the work on repairing. While they're repairing the temple, they find the book of the law, which was the book of Moses. The books of Moses that Moses had written to give clear instructions as to how God's people were to follow God, carry out their service to God. In those instructions, he also read the curses. If God's people didn't honor their commitment to God, that there were consequences. Josiah was not happy to hear this story about consequences. In fact, he was so disturbed by the message that the Bible says in verse 19, thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. So here's Josiah, several years into his reign now, 18th year of his reign. He's so distressed that his kingdom is out of line with God's will and, in fact, is under God's curse that he tears his clothes, kingly robes. He tears them in as a sign of great sorrow and anguish, disappointment, despair, repentance before God. And then he says, go inquire of the Lord for me. This king, great king, has done all these reforms, is distressed that his kingdom has dishonored God so incredibly. And so Josiah says, go ask the prophet. Go talk to the Lord. And so they go to hold of the prophetess, and the request is made about, you know, what's going to happen. And God gives this instruction. Tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book of the law, on the book, which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Josiah's repentance did not reverse the curse, but here's what God told Josiah. But as for the king of Judah, Josiah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you. Surely I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place and on its inhabitants. Unfortunately for Judah, Josiah's sweeping revival was not enough. The hearts of the people of Judah were so sold out to disobedience to God that even the sweeping revivals of Josiah could not reverse them. But Josiah's revival made a difference in his reign, and God honored and recognized the work that he did. Josiah, I would say, provides an incredible inspiration for you. You do have, unlike Josiah, you have better examples, better support than Josiah had. And yet, God has a work for you in his great world to bring betterment, perhaps revival even, to some place in this world, to turn their eyes from the things of this world to preparing for the kingdom of heaven. We don't know where that circle is. Maybe a radio announcer. I think you've got a great radio voice. Dr. Bryant pointed that out. Going to start a radio station here, and they might have a place for you. But that aside, we don't know where God's really going to call you. But I want to hold up to you the example of Josiah. He demonstrates that when we put God first, God will give us strength to follow through with that commitment, and God will honor us for that commitment. And I think that's the greatest example that I can hold up to you tonight, is the example of Josiah, who, even though he had no good reason to do this, no good example, he said, I'm going to follow the example of a godly king. I'm going to put God first. And God honored him for that. God gave him strength to make those decisions. God gave him courage to make those decisions. He was following the counsel that was given by the wisest king to have ever lived, King Solomon, who said this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." That's everything that matters in life. "Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all." That's our responsibility. "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Josiah understood the importance of doing right, even when he didn't have anybody around him who really showed him what that meant. Josiah determined to do right, and God honored him. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 18, "There had been no Passover kept in Israel like that since the days of Samuel the prophet." Josiah's revival was so profound that even in the days of King David and King Solomon, the Passover service did not equal the one held by Josiah following the most wicked years in Judah's history. Maybe God will call you and use you to bring that kind of revival in some place. Could be spiritual revival, could be reforming an industry. We don't know how God will use you, but when you put him first, he will give you courage to do right. He'll give you courage to follow his will. And you can stand tall by kings like Josiah, like David, like Solomon, in the confidence that you have put God first, that you have done his will, and can be certain of his recognition, whether it comes here or whether it comes in eternity. There will be no greater recognition. Not like an eighth grade graduation, not like a senior graduate, not like a high school graduation, not like a college graduation or a graduate graduation or a doctorate graduation or being inaugurated the President of the United States or the United Nations. Nothing will compare to the recognition of God in heaven saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I'd like you to keep that as your objective, to have that recognition, like Josiah had, that God said to Josiah, "You are faithful. I'm going to recognize your faithfulness. You're going to die in peace because you were faithful. Even though I can't reverse it for the nation, they didn't follow along like was needed, but you were faithful," and God honored that. Finally, a quote from Nelson Mandela, well-known leader in history who had courage to do some great things, made this statement. "There is no passion to be found playing small in settling for a life that is less than the one you're capable of living." So I challenge you, with Josiah as your model, with the words of King Solomon calling us to put God first, to live your life to the fullest in honor of God. You will never look back with regret, and you can look forward to an honorable and incredible recognition when God says, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Daniel, your aim says that you're supposed to aim high. Tonight, we're not talking just about your eighth grade graduation, or about even high school graduation. We're talking about college. You ready for that?
I don't know. That's my goal, though.
Good. That's what it says. Aim high. Well, to get you started, Union College is giving you a $100 scholarship. So you need to start thinking, and you can add to that with different things as you go through high school. Even if you're doing correspondence, you can still add on to that, and they will give you more as it goes on and everything. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You can stand up now. Daniel?
All right.
Yes.
This is what you've been working for the past 8 years, your presentation, your diplomas. On behalf of the Three Angels Church School Board, it's my privilege to present you with your diploma.
Thank you.
Daniel, come on over here. Your name means God is my judge. It also means that God's name is glorified and vindicated by your life, how you live it. You and I have had some several things happen together over the past few years. Your visits to the juniors. He's finally way taller than me. Look at that.
Been like that for a while now.
Yeah. Not this tall yet. Can't put his head up, but he's taller than I am finally. Your visits to the junior room, to Pathfinders, and working at the school. Last year, you and I accomplished a really big job. Mrs. Marching asked us to clean the sanctuary. And I didn't know that you could clean, which was, we worked hard. We worked really hard. We didn't have to come back. That's how hard we worked. We got the job done together. But I didn't know that you could work hard, have fun, and race, and do a really good job. And we did that. And that job stood on its own merit because she looked at us and said, wow, that was really good. Tonight, my presentation from the Alex Ministry here at Three Angels is a quilt. It has your favorite verse, your aim, and your motto on it. And also, it has something that you like. It has cars.
Sure, that's what I like?
Cars.
Okay, I guess I'll do. Thank you.
It has cars because you like them. I hear you talk about cars when I've had you in the car going places and stuff too. Tonight as I pray for you, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you by the laying on of my hands. So I'm going to have you come over here by me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the gifts that you have placed in Daniel's life. Thank you for those that will become evident in the future. May he always aim high and let you take him higher. May you always lead his paths, whether he finds or makes one. And Lord, I pray that you would bless and guide in his journey. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Don't worry, you're hot enough. Let's add on to that heat.
It's time for our closing prayer, but I'm going to have a special prayer for Daniel. God has a special work for you. We don't know what that work is. You may not know what that work is, but God has a special work. So I'm going to ask God to bless you in this coming year and to make his plans clear to you and give you courage to follow them. Father, I want to thank you for Daniel, my friend. And you have a work for him. We don't know where that work is, but you do. And I just want to thank you that as Daniel continues to move forward and seek your will, that you will make that clear. I ask you to give him the courage of Josiah, and David, and the many other good examples in Scripture who chose to do right, even in a culture that was not encouraging it. I pray, Father, that you would be close to Daniel, that you would help him as he seeks to follow Paul's example of forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward and closer to you. Give him wisdom in the decisions that come ahead in high school and college and life's important decisions along the way. Grant him wisdom. Give him courage in every one of them to choose right. In Jesus' name, amen.